The Parallel Realities of Gender. Two gender conferences in the same town present starkly different realities. The Anti-Racist Philosophy of Viktor Frankl. And why it's time for the DEI industry to check its privilege. Welcome to Fair News Weekly. To read all of the articles discussed in this podcast, please visit this podcast's episode description. Dear Friends of Fair, recently John D. Saylor, Senior Fellow and Director of Policy at the National Association of Scholars, was deplatformed after an exchange of ideas. The event, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion in Medicine and the Sciences, was supposed to be held at the Medical College of Wisconsin, but MCW President John Raymond rescinded the invitation, claiming that the exchange of ideas should not disrupt the core functions of the university or jeopardize the safety of our MCW community. Raymond's knee-jerk reaction was fueled by the following events. Students and faculty circulated a petition in the days leading up to President Raymond's decision. The petition's authors specifically take issue with Saylor, claiming without evidence that he has used discriminatory language. They argued that he should not be allowed to speak because of his opposition to and focus on denouncing DEI initiatives. FAIR supports respectful disagreement and believes that bad ideas are best confronted with better ideas, never with deplatforming. Universities should be a place where vigorous debate is encouraged. We strongly disagree with President Raymond's decision to cancel the event due to pressures from students who don't see the value in engaging with ideas they may disagree with. FAIR is excited to host Senator Johnson and provide our community with the ability to speak to and ask questions of a leading U.S. legislator. FAIR is a nonpartisan organization, and a core part of our mission is to foster conversation and hear from diverse perspectives. We look forward to hosting events and building bridges with politicians and policymakers from all political persuasions over the coming months and years. Join us on June 12th from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern for this conversation between John D. Saylor and Senator Ron Johnson about the dangers of stifling debate. Register now with the link in the description. Warmly, the team at the Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism. For FAIR Substack, Dennis Kukuk wrote about the anti-racist philosophy of Viktor Frankl, which he developed through his experience as a Holocaust survivor. He writes, "Frankl's attitude that decency of character exists in an array of persons, transcending race and nationality, brought him much criticism from a variety of individuals and groups. Frankl even claims that decent persons existed among his Nazi captors. After all the horrors and atrocities wrought upon the prisoners by the Nazis, Frankl's attitude was a tough sell. Furthermore, in the aftermath of World War II, a debate raged over whether or not the average German citizen knew what was happening in the concentration camps and whether or not the German population as a whole was culpable. Frankl does not allow himself to be caught in the moral trap of castigating a person for belonging to a group that another group judges to be indecent. By stressing individual responsibility and character, Frankl transcends prevailing group biases. From all his experiences, we learn that, to quote, "There are two races of men in the world, but only these two, the race of the decent men and the race of the indecent men. Both are found everywhere. They penetrate into all groups of society. No group consists of entirely decent or indecent people. In this sense, no group is of pure race." For Persuasion, FAIR advisor Angel Eduardo wrote about why he believes in an era of hypercertainty, dialogue and humility are more vital than ever. Eduardo writes, "Of course, the problem is that many people think they already know everything they need to know. In fact, they're certain of it. When you have moral certainty, you can presume the authority to shut people down. When your opponents are not just wrong, but monstrous, and when their words are not just arguments, but violence, silencing them becomes more than just a tactic. It becomes a moral duty. That's why recent shout-downs of campus speakers like Judge Kyle Duncan at Stanford Law School and Riley Gaines at San Francisco State University seem not only justified to those doing the shouting, but righteous and necessary. Unfortunately, certainty of this sort seems to be at a peak right now. We've always had difficulty communicating, but there's something especially disconcerting about our current moment. Discourse is chilled, and too much of our polity is siloed into fervent and immovable ideological factions. Times like these are precisely when the core liberal values undergirding the American experiment are more important. As our tolerance and appetite for dissent continue to plummet, we're giving up more than we realize. For Persuasion, Emily Chamley Wright wrote about why it's time we cultivated some moral imagination in an age of book bans and censorship. She writes, "Just as importantly, the freedom to read connects us to humanity, our own, and others. As Martha Nussbaum observes in her book, Cultivating Humanity, when we read the stories from far-off places, times, and circumstances, we develop our moral imagination. We extend our capacity for compassion beyond what our direct experience might allow. The alarming trend we're seeing in organized book banning efforts is relevant here. Among the most frequent targets is George M. Johnson's All Boys Aren't Blue, which reminds Black gay readers that they too have dignity, that they too are worthy of love and compassion. Dangerous stuff, that. Imagine if everybody started to think this way. And every time the censors succeed in taking another copy of Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye off the shelf, we're robbed of the compassion it might have kindled in the reader's heart, and the world is left a little colder. For The Atlantic, Connor Friedersdorf wrote about why the DEI industry is becoming so expensive and how it often runs from useless to counterproductive. Friedersdorf says, "The DEI spending of 2020 and 2021 was a signal sent from executives to workers that the bosses are good people who value DEI, a signal executives sent because many workers valued it. Put another way, the outlays were symbolic. At best, they symbolized something like, we care and we're willing to spend money to prove it. But don't results matter more than intention? A more jaded appraisal is that many kinds of DEI spending symbolize not a real commitment to diversity or inclusion, let alone equity, but rather the instinctive talent that college-educated Americans have for directing resources to our class in ways that make us feel good." For Unheard, Kathleen Stock wrote about why she believes students aren't the source of the culture wars, but the solution. Stock states, "Other supportive students in Oxford, neither feminist nor anti-feminist, just seem fed up with being emotionally blackmailed into stifled silence by a small group of childish and histrionic narcissists, among which they doubtless would include the occasional lecturer. And from within each union, the committee members responsible for inviting me were totally impressive, standing resolute against pressure and showing exemplary resilience in the face of harsh criticism from some peers. And I'm afraid I have even more disappointing news for those with unhealthy emotional attachments to the present culture wars. There were, indeed undoubtedly still are, plenty of students who feel like this at my former workplace. I know they are there, either because they told me outright at the time, or because they demonstrated to me via the open, inquisitive way they conducted themselves in the classroom." Join the Los Angeles chapter of FAIR on Wednesday, June 14th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Pacific for an online webinar on Finding the Courage to Stand Up. This webinar is offered for FAIR California members and anyone interested in attending. Link in the description below. DEI Trends in Education. What's happening and how to respond? What are DEI programs in education intended to achieve? Are they making a positive impact or are they causing more harm than good? For this webinar, FAIR brought together three panelists who have extensive experience with DEI in educational settings. Tune in now to this recorded webinar with the link in the description. Does implicit bias training help anyone? With Dr. Chris Ferguson. Tune in now to watch FAIR in Medicine's webinar about the implicit association test with the link in the description. We want the FAIR Substack to be the go-to publication for diverse perspectives on culture and civil rights. Whether you're a seasoned author or an amateur writer with a story that can contribute to our mission of promoting fairness, understanding, and humanity, we would love to receive your stories, opinions, investigations, reviews, interviews, and more. Please send your piece to submissions at fairforall.org. We hope to hear from you. Finally, if you liked this podcast, subscribe, share it with a friend, and leave us a rating and review. Make sure to check out our newsletter and weekly roundup to read more into any of this week's stories, or visit the episode description. Donations are always welcome at fairforall.org/donate.